Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week, Fight Night Phil is back to break down UFC 265, and we give you our picks. If you're not following already, please make sure to hit that subscribe button, follow us on all the socials, check us out on YouTube. Merch is available at redbubble.com or at tpublic.com. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Without further ado, UFC 265. Back again, another week, and it's another UFC pay-per-view, which can only mean one thing. It's time for Fight Night Phil. That's my best. It's my best that you're going to get. You're not going to get. I don't know if I could do any better intro for you. I mean, maybe if I was standing up and, like, you know, physically able to get, like, full body into it. But this is the absolute best intro I can give for the one and only Fight Night Phil, record of 9-1 in picking the last two pay-per-view cards. Welcome back to the show, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me again. Looking to keep that title.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil is...
I think I scared everybody away.
We had some other people that
Danny
were...
Danny hasn't come back. He's like
Danny was looking to come back on the show, and we had a couple other folks that were interested in coming on, but Phil's picking prowess is unmatched, and you might have scared them away, so it's all right. This main card, has a wee bit of change from what it used to be, as we were talking a little bit off air. The co-main event is not the co-main event.
Yeah, we lost the Nunez. I forgot who her opponent was. Amanda Nunez. It was Megan Anderson, I think. It was who she was supposed to fight for the title. But Nunez, her daughter, and her wife have all tested positive for COVID.
So they are now. We will get into the Aldo Munoz replacement when we get in there. So the card is it looks a little different now than it would have with Amanda Nunes on it, but it's still a pretty solid card.
It's still a stacked card. I mean, yeah, the two title pay-per-view fight is always great. But I mean, life happens. I mean, we are in the middle of a pandemic.
I found it really interesting. So last pay-per-view we did was obviously McGregor Poirier, and I actually thought that first fight on the card with what is it, Mourinho or whatever his name was that came
Mourinho
up.
Mourinho and Mourinho who fought.
I don't know. We're all blanking on his
name. Sugar Sean.
Yeah. He came in and he just took a beating, and it was probably fight of the night. It should have been fight of the night. The pay-per-view
like they did him dirty.
They did.
I mean, he was still standing. And yes, he was taking a beating. I understand you have to look out for the fighter's well-being. Sorry if you can hear my dog yipping back there. She's going nuts. He's still standing. 30 seconds left. Let him take 30 more seconds of beating and go to a decision.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't winning the fight.
No, not at all. Not in the least bit. I mean, he took home an extra $75,000.
Yeah.
With fight of the night. But the kid's still only... Oh, gosh. I don't even think he broke $100,000.
Yeah.
On the night.
Yep.
I mean, it's still life-changing money. I mean, 80 hours a week in a paint store to one check for $80,000.
Yeah, it's a big difference. I also look at the progression of the fights in that pay-per-view, and it got worse and worse as the night went on to the, like, climax, which ended up being very disappointing, obviously. I think we would have liked to have seen more out of that Poirier McGregor bout. Honestly, I know that everyone was saying that Poirier had him. McGregor looked like he was starting to make some shots. He was taking hits too, though. it felt like a letdown.
It was, and to come out afterwards and show all these pictures of, oh, I had a fracture going into it. Why not postpone it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why? And then just to sit there and cry about it. You didn't beat me. I was already beaten and hurt coming into this.
It was tough.
He's all hype, and he's, I don't think we may see him back one more time in the UFC, but I don't think, I think he's going to continue to hang out with the Biebs and do his proper 12 thing.
Yeah. So that was a disappointing card for a stacked card. This card has a lot of potential, and it starts off with a bantamweight bout between Song Yadong and Casey Kenny. How can you not like the name Song Yadong?
The Korean zombie.
He's unreal. He's an unreal fighter. Phil, who are you leaning for in the Yadong Kenny fight? They're both coming off losses.
All right, so they're both coming off losses, but before that, well, I guess Song Yadong is coming. He has two wins and a draw before that loss. And he said, Casey Kenny, he's fresh into the UFC, or newer, I believe. Yeah, 2019 is when he burst into the UFC. And he actually went on a five fight win streak before that loss to Dominic Cruz. And he went a decision to Dominic Cruz. I mean, dude's 23-3.
Yeah.
Yadong Song's been in the UFC for a while. 16-5-1 with one no contest. I know he's a zombie and he can take punches and a beating. I'm going to go with my boy Casey on this fight. I know the odds on this fight, it's Casey Kenny. It's pretty much a pick 'em. They're both -115 for Casey, -105 for Song Yadong. So it's even money there, but Casey Kenny. For this one, that's going to be my official locked in
pick. Okay. I am, yes, sir. I'm going to go with Song on this just to be contrary. Someone's got to take the title from you, so I've got to push it. That's the only reason why. It's a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em. Like, honestly, you're not going to, this is not where you would make your money if you were making a bet on a fight. There's not heavy odds either way. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. The first women's division fight is the strawweight between Ticia Torres and Angela Hill. I'm leaning Hill in this fight, if I'm being
Angela
honest.
Angela Hill.
Yeah, I'm leaning Angela Hill in this. I feel like she's coming in. She's coming off a win.
Yeah, Tisha, tiny Tornado Torres, who's 2-2 in her last four. Angela, also 2-2 in her last four. Angela Hill just beat Ashley Yoder, who actually just lost again, I believe. And Tisha, her last fight, Tisha fought back in 2020 against Brianna Van Buren and Sam Hughes. This is an interesting matchup. Vegas has Tisha Torres as the favorite on this card. Smart money. I'm going to listen to Vegas on this one. So I think that we've both picked two different outcomes for both fights here tonight.
Yeah,
so
this
far.
It's a little unusual. We're usually on the same. I'll tell you what the. It's not that I'm against the Vegas pick. I think Vegas is, there's a reason the money's usually on there. But looking
now, the
at
odds aren't that far apart.
No. Torres mostly wins by decision. There's a lot of wins by decision. 90% of her bouts are win by decision.
She's a ground wrestler. She just takes you to the ground and she just rides you out.
Yeah.
Grinds you, pushes you on the cage.
Yeah. Angela Hill has some knockout potential and some decision potential. Neither of them are submission technicians. So I'm hoping for a stray hand somewhere, maybe catches Torres and Angela Hill walks away with the victory. So we'll see what happens. This is a strange occurrence for us because I doubt we're going to be separate on all the fights, but these early fights are usually where the upsets will happen. The big upsets will happen, at least on terms of
This is an interesting pay-per-view.
On the next fight, we've got, is it Michael Chiesa? And
Michael Chiesa.
Vincent Lecque.
Vincent Locke.
Is it Locke?
Or Lockie or
something. I went with Lecque. We'll go with Locke. Whatever it is. He's an American with a French last name, so I don't know what you want to do. Take that as you will. 27-1 for Vincent and Vicente. And Michael Chiesa is 18-4-0. They're both coming off wins their last fight. Where is the money on this one, Phil? And where are you going with this?
Vegas has it really close again with Vicente Locke as a slight favorite. 124 favorite to a 102 underdog. That's across the board. Locke has popped on the scene and, well, he's been in the UFC, wow, actually a lot longer than I expected, since 2015. See, this is one of those guys I've been around for a while and I haven't really heard of his name, but his last loss was to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Wow.
Back in 2019. He's gone on to grind out Mike Perry to a decision. He's knocked out Dylan Krantz and Randy Brown and Nico Price. So he's knocked out his last three opponents, and then he subbed Tyrone Woodley in his last fight.
Yeah, and he certainly is he's more of a striker.
Chiesa, who...
He's more of a striker than
he is
a grappler.
Yes, he's the striker. Chiesa's a submission ground guy. If you look at most of his wins, they're by submission.
Yeah,
he's the grappler. He hasn't lost since 2017. He lost in 2018 to Anthony Pettis by submission. But he's gone on. He went on the decision to beat Diego Sanchez, Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yeah.
And then Neil Magny back in January. I'm not going to listen to Vegas on this one. I'm going to go with Michael Chiesa, the Maverick.
So I have a really hard time with this one because my eye test tells me go with the guy that's striking a ton. But I think I'm with you on this one and taking Chiesa. I feel a submission second round coming. I don't know why. It's completely out there. This is not financial advice.
He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. I mean, that's nothing to frown at.
Yep.
I mean, and he went to a 5-round decision in his last fight, so he's got the cardio.
Yeah.
I think
Michael
Chiesa.
Yeah. He is a slight higher rank. He's the number 5 over the number 6. So is that your underdog pick of the night, or do you have an underdog in the main card?
No, I definitely have another underdog.
Okay.
Maybe two. Okay. I gotta relook and think about this next fight coming up on the card. I haven't.
Well, this is our replacement fight for the Amanda Nunes fight, which is Jose Aldo and Pedro Munhoz. with Aldo being the favorite, not by a ton, but he's a clear favorite.
Wow, he's only 34. Oh, so is Munoz. He looks so much older.
He's been around
for so long. I mean, back he joined UFC 2011.
Yeah.
Back when WEC merged.
Yeah.
But he's been on an up and down roller coaster. 2-3 in his last five.
Yeah.
His last fight where he lost to Peter Yan for the bantamweight title by knockout in the fifth round. Before that, I mean, he beat Marlon Vera. I don't know. See, this is a tough one.
What I'm thinking here. I think that this has upset special written all over it. I think that this could be a Munoz fight just and because of the
Vegas
way it's there.
Feels the same way because. So now, if I'm looking at FanDuel, FanDuel has Munoz as an underdog at plus 104.
Yes.
But then I look at like DraftKings, PointsBet, and William Hill, and they all have him at a negative 105. They have it at even money. So.
And just to clarify,
like a lot
for
of other people are feeling that.
Yeah, just to clarify for people, we are recording this on August 3rd. The odds will shift and change.
Yes, clearly.
It is what it is, right? Like we're recording this early so we can get it to you guys early, but odds will change. They're always subject to change. So right now, I still think that Munoz is technically an underdog. I know that DraftKings
is even if the odds changed my lock'em pick because Munoz is on a roller coaster too.
I know.
They're both like at that like crossroads in their career, like they got to prove they still have it. I mean, 34 years old in this game is up there. We got Munoz is the number 9 and
Aldo's five.
This is gonna be my second upset pick of the night.
You're going Munoz?
Pedro Munoz.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm going Munoz too. I don't know, man. I like
like Aldo's on that downslope of his career.
Definitely.
I don't want to see him go out like Anderson Silva did.
No.
Hopefully he takes like his goes out with his legacy and just on top. I mean he's not at the top now, but with some accolades still there that people still respect, because when you go out and get just want to fight just to fight and you're constantly getting knocked out, it kind of diminishes your reputation and your whole legacy that you've built.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I also am going Munoz. And then in our other co-main event, I guess, really the hopefully the crown jewel of this card is Ciryl Gane and Derek Lewis.
This is going to be fireworks.
Gane is a heavy favorite.
Heavy, like,
and
disgusting.
So, let me ask you this, because I look at this and the guy that's going to put money on the fight says, put a bet on Derek Lewis because you're not hurting yourself with the return if he wins.
Okay, dude's 9-0, right?
He's also the number 2 contender.
But their decisions.
I know.
Most of them, like, he's got 1 knockout and 2 submissions. So he's a big dude. But clearly he doesn't have the power. Like, something tells me that the power, he's lacking the power behind his punches. Because, I mean, otherwise, 5-round decisions. He's won 2 5-round decisions in his last 2 fights.
Yeah.
and he's going into another five round. I feel like Derek Lewis is a heavier hitter.
He is. Derek Lewis doesn't hit as much. He doesn't throw as many strikes. But if they land, watch out, because it's like a Mack truck coming into you.
I mean, because you look at Lewis, knockout, decision, mostly knockouts.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude just scary hands.
Yeah.
He's got that fat boy physique. His nuts are sweaty. God, that was the best interview I think anybody's ever given in the UFC. Did you see that?
No.
He ripped off his fight pants, and they're like, why'd you take your pants off? And he goes, because my nuts are hot.
God. This is tough, man, because this is like
I think the favorite Vegas is there. Insane. I think Vegas is insane. Statistically and physically, on paper, Gagne is the superior fighter.
Yes.
I don't think he can stand and bang with Lewis. I think if he takes it to the ground, Lewis is too big. Third round knockout, Derek Lewis.
Going with the underdog.
Huge.
That's okay. So I'm also with you on Lewis, because I think that if you're placing bets, and this goes, and we'll be talking about this during football season as well as we go through, I'll have you back on obviously for some football talk, but when you're making DFS picks for football, sometimes it's about taking the lesser owned guy and taking the chalk. So, or versus taking the chalk. I think on DraftKings, Ciryl Gane's going to be owned out the wazoo. He's the heavy, heavy favorite. Of course, a win there.
I think a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money
betting the heavy favorite.
Betting the heavy favorite on this one.
Yeah. If you were just going to a bookie, I don't see why you wouldn't take the underdog here, who's a higher rank and is clearly a heavy hitter. So I am also with you on this one. So to recap our picks, before I get into I have a few questions for you on this, and then I do want to get your opinion on some trade deadline things that happened, because baseball was insane this past week. So Phil went with Kenny. I went Song. Phil went Torres. I went Hill. We both went Chiesa. We both went Munoz, and we both went Lewis. So the last three were all in sync. And the early fights is where we differ. So we'll see.
Will we have a new title holder?
Fight Night Phil merch will be available in the store coming up. Check it out. I'll put the link in the description. Man, MLB's trade deadline came and went. If we can get away from UFC for just a minute here. My Blue Jays made some moves. Cubs
had a fire sale.
The Cubs blew it up, and I don't know why they did that. I don't understand the logic behind it. I know they had to pay guys. I know there were guys coming up, and you don't want to lose them for nothing. But, boy, did they empty the cupboards in a hurry. So did the Nationals. Thanks, Juan Soto.
Trey Turner, Max Scherzer.
Poor Juan Soto's wondering where everybody went.
he's stuck there. Poor he's going to be like Mike Trout, stuck there with no team around him.
I'm sure he's at least he's getting paid.
But yeah, like you're saying, you're Blue Jays.
So I want to ask you this, because this is an interesting debate that happened in Blue Jays land. The Blue Jays gave up two high-end prospects, Simeon Woods Richardson and Austin Martin. Woods Richardson came over as part of the Marcus Stroman deal. Austin Martin was like the number one draft choice, not last year, the year before, I think. Whatever it was, it's hard to pandemic year is all mixed up. So he was a high draft.
2017.
No,
I think 2018 was Torkelson.
Yeah, I think so.
Or Mize, one of the two.
So two high end prospects going in the return for a bona fide number three arm. And I say number three because he's not an ace. Jose Berríos is a solid pitcher. who I think is excellent. But the
so you're fans, giving up something that has tons of potential downfall for something that's proven itself already?
Yes. And it's the argument always, because I think prospects it's an are prospects. Upside.
I mean, they could go out and he could go out and be the next Trout or Ohtani, or they could go out and just become the next bust.
Well, the problem is we have – so Blue Jays fans have this problem because back in 2013, they traded Noah Syndergaard to the Mets. And we got R.A. Dickey back, who had just won a Cy Young. And R.A. Dickey, as much as he's R.A. Dickey, he's a knuckleball pitcher. He wasn't going to be a Cy Young Award winner in the AL East against the Yankees and Red Sox, even the Rays and Orioles at that time were hitting. So Jays have like traumatic flashbacks of we had Syndergaard and we let him go because we didn't need this. But bats are easier to replace than arms. It is a lot harder to get a solid rotation in baseball than it is to find guys who can rake, in my opinion. I know that I'm not.
Tell me about it. Look at my team after we dumped off Scherzer and Verlander, who we sent down to the Rays, ended up winning a Cy Young.
Yeah.
And now we have nobody.
So do you?
It's literally all like rookies.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are young. You're very young. What do you do in that situation? Like, are you okay with giving up high-end prospects for proven talent, even if it's like everybody's like, well, Brios isn't going to be an ace, given but I'm like, whatever.
Given your team and the current build around it, and needing that arm, you've got bats, you've got the offense.
Yeah,
you need that. You need the. It's a smart choice in my mind. I mean,
I looked at it
as a card collector. As a card collector, I hate it.
Sure.
But as a sports fan, it's smart. It's a smart decision.
Well, I think a lot of people, unfortunately, that were arguing the decision were also card collectors. So they were holding all their Austin Martin firsts and very disappointed with it. But it is what it is.
It's still going to be worth money.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
it's just he's just in a Blue Jays uniform.
Yeah.
It's still his first Bowman.
It happens a lot, and I think people forget that prospecting is so hard and so long term, because unlike the NFL or NBA or NHL, first round draft picks usually don't show up for 3 to 5 years, unless they're like
now
special.
What about the cross country trade or the cross city trade? Didn't the White Sox send Nick Madrigal to the Cubs? Yeah,
they
did.
What are they doing? Like, why? Madrigal's solid.
Especially with injury prone. I mean, their team's been hurt.
Yeah.
They were one of the projected favorites in the Central.
Yeah. The Central's a mess right now. The Central's a mess. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do in the Central. So the AL East is still very much up for grabs, despite what Rays and Red Sox fans think. I think that the AL East is still very much in play. And I think the wild card is still in play. So the Blue Jays have bats. I think they're winning right now too.
Yeah. What are they? How many games back? Seven. Oh, you guys are 8 games back out of first.
Out of first, seven, but they're still. Yeah, but they're still in the wild card hunt hard. I think only four games out of the wild card, maybe 4.5. They dropped one last night.
I mean, innings. Yeah, the White Sox are still winning the Central or leading the Central right now, but I wouldn't count the Indians out.
The Indians are losing 7-2.
And then you get the AL West. Astros are holding a small. And my Tigers are playing the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Oh, they're actually winning. They're beating the Red Sox right now.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting run down the stretch for sure. Once the playoffs are determined.
My team didn't make too many trade deadline moves. I think they traded one. We traded Daniel Norris to the Brewers. That was, I believe, the only trade we made.
Daniel Norris, former Blue Jay Daniel Norris, lives out of a van in the offseason.
Lives out of his van, yep.
Everybody knows.
My daughter started crying when I told her that they traded him because he just signed her hat for her at the game we went to.
Oh, that's too bad. It's still a good sign. All right, Phil, we'll look and see who maintains the title, because you've been on a hot streak. You're 9-1. And if you're not listening to Phil's
14-1.
14-1.
I'll be 14-1.
We'll see. If you're not listening to Phil's picks, you're making a fool of yourself, because, like I said, he's 9-1 so far. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think the pick should be. Don't forget to subscribe. Phil, thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me on. The next pay-per-view, before we leave, the next pay-per-view is a huge one, 266. So we will be, hopefully we'll be back for that one.
Oh, we'll be back for that. We're never, like, we're going to be, we'll definitely be back because for 260 size of Volkanovski and Ortega.
Huge card. It is Volkanovski, Ortega. Then you got Shevchenko and Murphy, Diaz and Lawler.
It's a stack card.
It's always a big card when you got a Diaz on the card.
Yeah, you'll be pushing. You'll be looking to push
Nate it at almost 20. Return back here soon. Nate Diaz is coming back to the UFC.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be a big
one. All righty. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, good luck with your picks. Yeah.
Same to you. We'll be posting them on the socials so you can follow along, see how we did. Thanks for checking us out. And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. I'd like to thank Phil for coming on, handicapping the main card for UFC 265. Again, you can get Fight Night Phil merch at our store, redbubble.com. If you aren't already, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you're looking to see my face, you can head over to youtube.com/armchaircommentary. Don't forget to sub there. Share it with your friends. Plenty of ways to check out the content. Just let me know what you want to see next. We definitely will be having some football coming up, and I may do an Armchair Commentary Fantasy Football League. So if you're interested, reach out to me on social media. It has been an interesting week in the world of sports. Congrats to Canada's women's national soccer team on their gold medal win. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks for listening.